Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Hitachi Energy India Limited Q4 FY 2026 analyst conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priyanka Bhagat, IR Team, Hitachi Energy India Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome to all participants joining us today's call. We are delighted to have you with us for the quarter four financial year 2026 earnings conference call of Hitachi Energy India Limited. Before we proceed, I would like to remind everyone that certain statements made during this discussion may be forward-looking in nature. Actual results could differ materially due to various external factors. With that, I now invite Managing Director and CEO of Hitachi Energy India Limited, Mr. Venu, to take us through his insights on the results. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Priyanka. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here. Let me also once again introduce my colleague who recently joined. Priyanka is the Head of Investor Relations. Please get in touch with her anytime if you need any more information or anything else on our company. We are happy to do that to support you on that. Once again, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the analyst conference call. I hope you're all doing well, taking care of yourself. As you have seen from our press release, we have announced our quarter four and full year FY 2026 results yesterday. Over the next 20-25 minutes, I will walk you through our performance for the period ending March 31st, 2026. As always, you may follow the presentation through the webcast or download it. We have just uploaded into the BSE and stock exchanges website. I'll continue to refer the slide numbers for ease of reference if you are on the move so that you can understand it that. Today, in addition to Priyanka, I also joined in the room by our CFO, Ajay Singh, and our General Counsel and Company Secretary, Poovanna Ammatanda. As you know as well, at the start of this FY 2026, our priority was clear: sustain the strong growth momentum from FY 2025 while driving higher operational efficiency. Despite a volatile geopolitical environment still continuing, we remained disciplined in execution and focused on managing supply chain and cost pressures effectively. I'm pleased to report that we have delivered another quarter and another year of strong performance, closing FY 2026 well ahead of our previous year in all the KPIs. Our growth has been supported by consistent execution, a resilient business model, and a strong go-to-market and sustained demand across segments. A key highlight is our record order backlog of 29,555 crore as of March 31st, 2026, which provides a strong revenue visibility for several quarters going forward. This reflects continued customer confidence and our ability to win and execute large and complex projects. The successful commissioning of India's first city in-field project in Mumbai further demonstrates our execution capabilities and reinforces our position as a trusted partner in critical grid infrastructure. Together with all our board members, we just visited the Mumbai city in-field project site this morning. I'm just coming straight from that. This is one of the most, you know, engineering marvel to deliver, and I see that, you know, the project is pumping the power. While India remains exposed to global energy price volatility, this also strengthens the structural investment case for transmission and grid infrastructure. Our performance in the last quarter reflects this dynamic. We have navigated a temporary industry slowdown while continuing to invest in long-term growth opportunities and margin resilience. Looking ahead, the demand outlook remains robust, supported by energy transition, grid expansion, and increasing electrification. At the same time, geopolitical development continue to highlight the urgency around energy security, energy transition, and also domestic capability building. Hitachi Energy, in our view, is well positioned to capture these opportunities, given our strong order book, strong order backlog, our technology leadership, and proven execution track record, and our customer intimacy. So, starting with the presentation, I move to the slide number 3. As you all know, safety remains an integral part to our operations, and we call it the license to operate. And we are committed to embedding best-in-class safety practices across our factories and project sites and offices. We are proud to report zero fatalities during the financial year just concluded, reflecting the effectiveness of our proactive safety culture and risk management measures. Further, reinforcing this commitment, we conducted several life-saving rules, more than 1,700 life-saving rule inspections, ensuring continued vigilance and adherence to safety protocols. At Hitachi Energy, our employees, our subcontractors, well-being is deeply ingrained in our culture. Annual health checkups, ongoing safety awareness sessions form core part of our approach, underscoring our belief that safety and health are non-negotiable priorities. Our consistent efforts have been recognized and appreciated by leading third-party agencies and customers, reaffirming our position as a trusted and responsible organization. As you can see from the slide, during the quarter, we have won several awards from our customers and partners in enhancing the safety culture at their work, at their project sites. If I move to the slide number 4, sustainability remains central to our strategy with a strong focus on decarbonizing our operations. We are proud to have achieved 100% renewable energy in our operations through rooftop solar and various other means, like, you know, engaging the long-term power purchase agreement with the solar developers and etc. During the year, we surpassed our water reduction targets, achieving an 11% reduction from the baseline of 2019 through recycling initiatives and the deployment of efficient fixtures. Notably, our Halol facility in Gujarat earned the Water Positive Index certificate, underscoring our commitment to responsible water stewardship. In addition, both our Halol and Mysore facilities have been certified platinum for zero waste to landfill, reflecting our continued progress in circular resource management and waste minimization. Beyond environmental stewardship, we have made a meaningful strides in governance and social impact. We increased gender diversity substantially, reinforcing our commitment to building an inclusive workplace. At the same time, we continue to uphold an uncompromising commitment to integrity with a zero instance recorded during the year. Our efforts continue to be recognized externally. We are pleased to report that our CRISIL Sustainability ESG rating improved to 61, which is basically called a strong in FY26, while our NSE ESG rating increased to 62, which is adequate, reflecting sustained progress across key ESG dimensions. I move to the slide number 5, and you know some of this information you already know that, but let me put our performance in the context of broader dynamics. The current geopolitical situation in the Middle East has triggered pressure on the supply chains. However, we have put several mitigation measures to address the temporary challenges, which not only we are paying, but whole industry is facing. Along with that, we are witnessing is a clear structural transformation in the energy landscape in India, driven by energy security priority, policy support, localization, and accelerating electrification across multiple sectors. India's electricity demand is poised for a strong, sustained growth over the coming decade, supported by industrial expansion, renewable integration, EV adoption, and the rapid scale of the new age load centers such as data centers. At the same time, the grid is becoming more complex with a higher load density, increasing reliability requirements and new demand drivers such as AI-led workloads. And this is leading to significant investments across the transmission, distribution and grid infrastructure. Across segments, the opportunity is compelling. Strong momentum in renewable transmission investments to integrate non-fossil capacity, a visible industrial capex cycle, rising data center investments, and early stage but accelerating EV penetration. In parallel, improving DISCOM health and fundamental is enabling higher spending in distribution. Overall, these trends reinforce our confidence in a multi-year growth opportunity, and we believe we are well positioned to capture this throughout our strong market presence, execution capabilities, and continue to focus on technology, capacity expansion, and PC. I move to slide number 6. Our operating momentum remained strong and firmly on track throughout the quarter ending March 31, 2026. During the quarter, we recorded orders of 2,422.5 crore and revenue of 2,751 crores, and which has a growth on a year-on-year basis. Orders of 10.6% and revenue of 46.2% growth on a year-on-year basis. Similarly, and when it comes to the profit before tax, is around 443.4 crores, and profit after tax is 330.5 crores, reflecting a solid operational performance in that. Also, this quarter ending is also our full year ending. For the full year period, as you can see here, we reported a strong orders as a second year in row with at the high base. We have a growth of 1.6% at 18,456.5 crores. And the revenue on a complete year, 8,147.7 crores, growth of 27.6%. And PBT is 1,375.2 crores, a growth of 166.3%. And PAT is 987.8 crores, a growth of 157.3%. And EBITDA on an annualized basis is 15.4%. And look at our strong operating cash in this year is 1,746 crores and strong order backlog of 29,553 crores of increase on a year-on-year basis, 53.6%. During this, if I go to the next slide, during this year, we have commissioned, very, very important project. As I talked about, Mumbai City Infeed project of 1,000 megawatt on a VSC-based technology in that. This includes entire design, engineering, supply, erection, and commissioning of HVDC converter stations at Aure and Kudus and supporting 1,000 megawatt of power into the Mumbai grids in that. Similarly, we have also commissioned several other projects in this year. For example, the renewable substation at Barmer, and renewable substation at Barmer, and also transformer supply to leading utilities, and then AI substations in Rajasthan, and several other things. These projects underscore our strong execution capabilities across diverse segments and geographies. Our comprehensive scope of work spans the entire value chain, including design, engineering, manufacturing, supply, erection, testing, and end-to-end commissioning, enabling us to deliver integrated, high-quality solutions to our customers. I move to the next slide, that is slide number 8, and at Hitachi Energy, we are committed to leading with a purpose and creating a positive impact on industry and society. We firmly believe in translating our strategies into meaningful action. In line with this commitment, we actively participated in India Energy Week 2026, engaging with key stakeholders and fostering global partnerships that are shaping the next era of energy transition and progress. Artificial intelligence has become the new normal across industries, and energy sector is at the forefront of this transformation. It is imperative for us to adapt to this evolving landscape. Engaging at such industry forums and summits bring not only fresh perspective to our businesses, but we also leading actively in the dialogues. As part of the India's AI Impact Summit, we hosted a pre-event to explore the changing role of energy in the age of AI and industry leaders across Ministry of Power and Ministry of METI and IT has joined us at that platform. We showcased our portfolio of products and solutions at the Bharat Electricity Summit, one of the largest transmission energy events in the country. Our booth at the event was honored by the Honorable Ministers, Ministers of Power, Minister of the Renewable, and critical members of the power industries to listen to us and to see our state-of-the-art technology products which are on display. I'll move to slide number 9 to give me a little more additional context on the order intake for the full year FY26. Order intake for FY26 has demonstrated growth across the sectors, industry, data centers, railways, and renewables. So you're seeing the small dip in the transmission is basically, you know, due to the large orders, in mismatch of the large orders, but also some of the projects have been delayed in that. On the right-hand side, the order mix is illustrated on the right, the chart highlights that the product segment has taken the lead, and while utilities and direct end customers emerge as a clear winners across their respective sectors and channels. I move to the next slide, which is very important and strategic slide for us, and let me also take the moment to highlight an important of this development. During our quarter 4 FY26 board meeting, the board approved an incremental investment additional investment of rupees 2,000 crores. This includes, among other initiatives, the establishment of state-of-the-art greenfield large-type transformer facility in place Kurjan, Vadodara in Gujarat. This is an accelerated execution program, and we would like to complete this state-of-the-art greenfield transformer factory to produce our large power transformers and also HVDC converter transformer by last quarter of 2028 calendar year. This investment is over and above the capital expenditure program we had previously announced in October 2024. With this, our total cumulative capex commitment now stands close to Indian rupees 4,000 crores. We believe that this investment will significantly strengthen our manufacturing capabilities in India and position us well to capture the strong demand outlook in the sector, not only from the renewable transmission, but also new age sectors such as data centers. With the background, I'll now hand over to our CFO, Ajay Singh, who will walk you through our financial performance in the next two slides. Over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, Venu, and very good afternoon, everyone. Hope you are doing well. So let me run through the financial performance for this quarter as well as the year end. So when we have already touched upon a few parameters, but I will go a little bit deep into that. So orders, if you see, we have clicked 2,422 crores in this particular quarter, which is 10.6% growth Y on Y. Revenues from operations were very good in this quarter. We had 2,754 crores, which was 46% growth compared to the Y on Y. And profit before exceptional item is 443 crore, that is 16.1% compared to earlier Y on Y 13.1%. PAT, if you see, PAT grew by roughly 80%, 330.5 crores, and then the margin we closed at 12% PAT margin. Operational EBITDA for this particular quarter was 452 crores, which is 16.4%. So overall, I will say in my view, this quarter was good for us. And again, if you compare from the sequential quarter also, if you see the revenues grew by 32% and PBT also grew by 10%. PBT after exceptional items grew by 27%, PAT grew by 26%, and also operational EBITDA grew by 33.7%. So the margin in this particular quarter was majorly contributed from the very good revenues that we got and also through the operating discipline that we could get translated in this particular quarter. If I see year on year, we had order booking of 18,456 crores, which is, you know, we are able to maintain this, you know, good order book, 1.6%, you know, compared to the last year. Revenues, we, you know, crossed 8,000 crores, so 8,147 crores, which is roughly 27.6% growth compared to the previous year. PBT before exceptional items, 16.9%, and PBT after exceptional items is 16.2% compared to 8% in the last year. And PAT grew basically, you know, more than 150%. PAT is, we clicked 987 crores, that is 12.1%, vis-a-vis 6% in the last year. Operational EBITDA, if you see, at 1,252 crores, that is 15.4% compared to 9.3% what we achieved in the last year. If I dwell a little bit more in details, if you come to the next slide where, you know, I will talk about more in details. If you see in the particular quarter, little bit on the cost structure, if you see our basically the personal expenses for this particular quarter were 6.3%. Other expenses we were able to pull down 14.3%. This particular quarter we had an exchange loss of 31.5 crores. This is an unrealized loss, so notional loss for us. Depreciation 1%, finance cost negligible, and with this we are able to close this particular quarter with 16.1% PBT, and profit after tax was 12%. Similarly, if I see for the year-end overall, year-end also, as I discussed, we clicked a revenue of 8,147 crores, and if you see, we were able to improve on the gross margins compared to the last year by minimum 2%. Personal expenses, we closed by 7.9%. Other expenses, again, last year it was 20%. This year we closed at 16.9%. And all other, you know, expenses are under control. And that is how, if you see, we were able to close this particular year with profit before tax of 16.2% compared to the last year, 8.1%. And also, profit after tax basically reached to 12.1% compared to 6%. So overall, a very good, you know, development on the profitability vis-a-vis when I compare with the last year. With this, I hand over to Venu.
Okay. Thank you, Ajay. And I come to the last slide. As you all know, this is a famous slide for me. And as we close the financial year, we are pleased with the progress we have delivered, especially against the backdrop of an evolving geopolitical environment. And our focus continues to be on two clear priorities: sustaining our growth momentum and improving efficiency across all areas of our operations. We remain proud of our leadership in core segments such as utilities, HVDC, industries, data centers, etc., while actively expanding into high growth areas. Energy storage, where we see strong and sustainable demand trends. At the same time, we are sharpening our strategy to capture opportunities across services, exports, and digital innovation. Strengthening the service business in India remains a key pillar for us, as it plays a critical role in ensuring continuity and resilience of energy systems. We are also driving productivity and operational excellence with a strong emphasis on quality and scalability. In parallel, we are focused on executing our strong order backlog efficiently to support revenue growth and optimize capital deployment. And we kickstarted AI acceleration with the AI Nexus program, harnessing data analytics and AI to drive smarter decision and faster and better outcome. On the function standpoint, safety continues to be our non-negotiable and our license to operate. We deeply embedded in our culture and we remain committed to maintaining a robust safety first environment across all our locations. Looking ahead, we will continue to invest in our capabilities through people, technology and capacity expansions to support sustainable growth. We are confident of creating long-term value while contributing to a more resilient and sustainable energy future. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, now the floor is open for the questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question and to restrict to two questions at a time. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Parikshit Kandpal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Venu. Congratulations on a great quarter, sir. So my first question is on exports. So we have seen a very robust order inflow from exports. If I do the numbers for some adjustments for HVDC, about 3,000 crore plus for this year. So just wanted to understand, I mean, without any related party major orders in this year, so how are we able to get these orders? How do you generate inquiries there? Do we compete with the parent entities in these geographies? So how does the allocation come? How do you get the inquiries? Because it's widespread across US, Europe, and APAC. So just wanted some more color on this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Parikshit. First of all, thank you for your question. And it's very interesting. And we have been consistently saying that our export strategy is a three-pronged strategy. So the number one is we have certain allocated markets. And in the allocated markets, we develop the allocated markets on a long-term basis together with the local sales and marketing organizations. And we start selling the products in that. At no point in time, Hitachi Energy companies will compete in any markets. It's always markets. We develop the markets on a long-term basis. That's the first strategy. And the second one is we do manufacture certain products only in India in the whole Hitachi Energy ecosystem. That's what we call as a global feeder factory. That's if I give an example of the 66 kVA high circuit breakers. And then our CombiFlex relays, just give you a couple of examples on that. Those relays, components, products, we manufacture here, we sell it across the world, some directly to customers, sometimes through our Hitachi Energy offices. So that will become a related party. Third one is we manufacture as part of that is the components which is required for the full products, what we call as a feeder factories. These feeder factory manufactured components, we sell it to other Hitachi Energy factories around the world. It could be US, it could be Germany, it could be Sweden and Switzerland, etc. Like that. So these are the components, and where we have we sell it over things. So combination of these three things will add to our exports thing, Parikshit.
Okay. So my second question is on the HVDC mix. I mean, we have seen some softness in the margins as a year as a whole. I mean, we are somewhere around 14-15% EBITDA, but our peers are now in the range of 25% plus. So our GTM is also low and other expenses high because of royalty, which is like we have higher royalty there. So just wanted to understand was HVDC a significant portion of this year's revenue, so if you can quantify across all the three HVDCs. I mean, you had Marinus, you had Adani, you had Power Grid and the Mumbai entry. So was these a significant part of your order book? And given that now 2/3 of our order book is HVDC, so is there any scope for the margins to improve from here on?
No, I think, as I said, the HVDC is in our view, is only margin accretive. And it was not very substantial in this year. If you take the whole of this year, our HVDC revenues out of 8,000 crores is around 1,100 or something like that, Ajay?
Yeah, so roughly, you can say 15%.
Yeah, that's 1,100, 1,200 crores in that. So, as I said, our focus has been our base business, our service business, our export business, and in addition to other things. HVDC is one of our levers, and that's what we are doing in that.
Okay. Just the last question, sir. On this order breakup for this quarter, exports has been very high. So just wanted to check the services, which has also been very high in this quarter. So is the service order from India HVDC upgrade, or it was a global order, and is it a part of the export order book?
No, the service upgrade is from India. It is for our customer in MSETCL, the Chapard upgrade of control and protection.
Because adjusted for that, the base orders look very weak for this year as a whole. I mean, we have not really seen, if I remove services and the export, the base ordering looks to be very weak for FY26. In fact, there could be maybe a decline YOY. So what's the commentary on the base ordering?
Yeah, we have seen our base orders also has a strong growth in the base orders for the whole of financial year.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Sure. Thank you, Anisha.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. And congratulations on a very excellent quarter and a very, very good year. My first question is, sir, on the domestic order inflow, ex-HVDC, or let's say domestic order inflow plus exports, ex-HVDC, it seems that we are at 90 billion last year, 90 billion this year, right? How do you see this developing for FY27? How is the inquiry pipeline ex-HVDC in domestic market, especially?
Yeah, I think, thank you very much. As you know that we don't give any forward-looking numbers going forward, but let me give a little bit of color to that so that you understand that, you know. So HVDC is only one of our core levers, not the only one, but we leave HVDC out. But what we see, our pipeline is very strong in the renewable. Our pipeline is very strong in the data center. It's really, really good. And the pipeline is also equally strong on our transmission of the projects in that. And of course, industries are you know, it's a kind of intermittency is there, but it's coming up in that. Overall, if you talk about the entire pipeline, leave HVDC, I think, and our pipeline for the transformers for various segments is also very, very strong in that. So if you add all of those things, I think pipeline compared to the, you know, year ago, compared to the quarter ago, is very good.
Understood. My second question is the new transformer capacity which announced. Yeah. Does it mean that you produce HVDC transformers internally?
No. What do you mean by internally means?
In the other package, the two HVDC packages, we have tied up with BHEL for supplying the transformers. Does it mean that as this capacity is up, we'll take the entire project as...
Whatever the projects we have won, and those commitments, that will stay there. There's no change in those particular existing orders. So considering the new capacity is required, considering new demand, and we are setting up that. And we have seen, you know, complete, you know, 360 view on and before putting up this capacity, and we believe that we have a very strong business case for you know, this kind of thing. And in this new facility, we not only manufacture the large power transformer, we also manufacture the various converter transformer, whether it is for VSC technology, whether it is for LCC technology, or etc. like that. And also some of the large power transformers required for the data centers.
Last question.
Thank you. Mohit, I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Requesting participants to restrict to two questions at a time, please. You may join back the queue for follow-up questions. Next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. My sincere compliments on creating an investor relations cell, and welcome to Priyanka, in the Hitachi Energy India family. My two questions. The first one is the gross margins contracted on a sequential quarter-on-quarter basis by a significant amount. What was the mix change of factors that drove this outcome? The second question is that overall your order inflows for the fiscal grew by 1.6%, but excluding HVDC orders from the base for both the years, the non-HVDC order inflow, at least the domestic non-HVDC order inflow, was sedate in FY26 over FY25. What led to this outcome and what is the outlook going forward? Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe on the gross margins, I'll ask Ajay, our CFO, to talk on that.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So if you see the gross margin, you are talking about sequential quarter. It is only because of the product mix that is where you see a contraction. But if you see overall basis at the end of the year, we have improved on the gross margin by 2 basis points. So if you see around last year, our gross margins were around 38%, but this year we closed the year with the 40%. So as we are discussing, we are working on the margin accretion piece, and only because of the product mix is where, you know, sometimes in the sequential quarters we see some change.
Yeah, sure. So Sumit, what was your second question on the orders?
Yeah, the non-HVDC order inflow in FY26 versus the comparable number for FY25. If I exclude exports, there seems to be sort of some weakness in the domestic non-HVDC order inflow. Given the outlook is so strong, you know, around multiple growth drivers, what is actually the underlying dynamics here?
I think when we looked into that, it is not the case with us. But we need to also understand that, you know, some of the capacities which are required for that probably will filled in with the HVDC portfolio, and that's also the reason why some orders which are required at the same time may not be possible for us to do that. But otherwise, even if we remove the non-HVDC order, there has been a growth in the domestic as well for us.
Okay. Just one follow-up on this, your 20 billion rupee capex, you know, what kind of physical capacity for power transformers in GVA terms, is this
create almost you know, anywhere between 30 GVA to 40 GVA, you know, exactly close to our existing factory.
Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Amit Anwani from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Just a clarification on the 30-40 GVA. You said after adding the capacity, this will become 30-40 GVA? Or?
This is additional capacity.
Additional. So this will be
30 GVA. Depending upon the, you know, products made, can go to 40, but baseline would be in the range of 30 GVA.
That is kind of doubling the capacity. Yeah. So, sir, a question on the minimum local content. So, the two projects which we already have, just wanted to understand, there was recent notifications from the government with respect to minimum local content. So, the status on the two projects, how much is the MLC there? And is your CAPEX driven by also the localization drive for the upcoming 2-3 years, there's a minimum 30%, and then this will go up over the next 5 to 7 years in terms of localization requirement for each project. And second, will this also lead to reduction in royalty because you'll be localizing more? So just wanted to understand on these aspects.
So thank you very much. As far as our local content is concerned, we are far ahead of the requirements set out by the thing. Even the recent government circular, we are exceeding that. And we have been consistently saying that, you know, we have, over a period of time, we have increased our local content, and our new capacity is nothing to do with the local requirements of that. The new capacity is basically is based on the demand coming in from renewable transmission data centers in a big way in that.
Right.
Thank you.
When it comes to the royalty, your question is that, you know, as I said, you know, we manufacture locally, but we continue to get technology from our principals, right? And I've been saying that we need to pay the royalty because, you know, we will come out of new technologies, new products, etc. in that. Some of you are maybe attending our today's evening investors meet. We would like to, you know, explain to you what are the new products, technology we are launching for some of the new segments, growth drivers, for example, data centers, energy storage, and those technologies we are able to, you know, source from our parent company. And we need that reality to ensure that the technology is available at the same time it is available around the world.
And I will like to top up what Venu are telling. Locally, if you see, we are not spending anything on the R&D. Yep. Our R&D spend is all managed centrally. So that is how we will need the technology for our products.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. I think so. We look forward to your evening presentation. But primarily, can you talk about any big gaps that you currently have in your portfolio that you would want to address with these 2,000 crore of CapEx?
No, the 2,000 crores is not about the gaps. For example, what the major of 2,000 crores is going into our existing product. One is that we are going to set up a new greenfield large power transformer. We are already manufacturing those things in another facility in Baroda, Maneja. And this is additional capacity because we need to produce more number of transformers in the same time, and that's what is the thing. And similarly, we are also setting up two additional lines in our Bangalore factory for a power quality. And that's that is also, this is up to six lines we have. We are now adding a seventh and eighth line because we see a lot of demand coming in for the power quality products. And it's not any of the product gaps. It is more of doing what we are doing it.
Understood. That's very helpful. And how should one think about phasing of this capacity over the next 2-3 years?
Our view that, you know, that's what I said, we will talk about more in the evening, but what we are talking about is that the demand required for the electrification, right? The more and more sectors are getting electrification. So electrification means you need a more transmission, you need a more generation, and for that you need a more transformer. So we have looked into quite a longer period, and we believe that, you know, it's not 1 or 2 years, 3 years story we are talking about. We are talking about a multi-year growth story. It's a structurally we need to have. It's not anymore a spikes that it is coming up and down, but we need the structurally for a couple of long years, the growth of these demand for these products and solutions is going to be there in our view. And that's why we are investing it.
Understood. No, I meant your capacity. As in this 4,000 crore, when should we expect different phases of capitalization?
No, I think as we speak, out of the 4,000 crores, you know, out of that 2,000 crores we announced in October 2024, and many of those projects are, as we speak, they are on the ground. So they are taking anywhere between 3 to 4 years to complete that. But this additional 2,000 crores which we announced, and we are doing the groundbreaking ceremony on 12th of June, and this is an accelerated manufacturing thing, as I said. We're going to manufacture the transformer out of this new facility by end of last quarter of the calendar year of 2028.
That's it. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Shubhadeep Mitra from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So as you mentioned on this call as well that, you know, the focus areas and the growth triggers seem to be coming more from the renewables and the data center side over and above, let's say, HVDC and exports. Just wanted to get a understanding of, let's say, how much of the renewables and the data center piece would be, let's say, part of current revenues and order book. And how do you see the growth trajectory going ahead?
Well, I think all of them are part of our order book. And by far, you know, the transmission is highest in our order book, followed by the renewable and then industry service exports. Data centers is coming up in India. As you know, India has less than 2 gigawatt of our data center in India. And this is going to be multifold in the going forward. In the next 4 or 5 years, we are talking about in that. So that is, even though it's a small base, but the rate of growth or growth rate, growth percentage is much higher in those things. And the next one is the energy storage, the battery energy storage, especially. You're talking about almost 80 gigawatt of battery storage for the next 5-6 years, that, as you can see from the CEA report. And that needs a lot of technologies, and we're going to also look at those segments in that. Thank you.
Understood. Just as a follow-up, would most of these products that go into, let's say, the data center and the battery energy piece, are these products that you're already manufacturing in India? These solutions already exist within the Indian subsidiary, or these will be products that need to be imported from the parent and then supplied?
Some of the products are already we are manufacturing, and we're going to expand our product basket. Some of the products is already available in our parent company. We're going to bring the technology and localize those things. As you know, it's very important to, you know, meet up the price point required by our customers in India. So if you import from there, we will not able to, you know, manage the sustainable growth in that. We need to do that, and that's what we are looking into that. It's a combination of all of that.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question and congrats on an excellent set of results. So my first question just pertains to the...
Can you please come close to the mic, please? It's very feeble.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me now, sir?
Can you use your handset mode, please?
Yeah, sir.
Jason?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is clear. Please go ahead.
That's clear. Yeah. Sure. So my first question just pertains to just wanted the entire year number FY26, the exports order intake, and as well as the exports revenue entire year if possible.
I think Ajay, you'd like to?
Yeah. So export revenue, if you see year end, is around 25% you can take, and order. Orders also will be basically in the similar line. Currently, it will look a little bit lower because we have booked the large domestic orders, but our average export is around 25 to 30%.
Yeah, whenever we are talking about the percentage, so please remember, we'll always take out the large lump like HVDC orders. When you're talking about that, it is excluding of that.
Sure, sir. So would it be possible to give an exact number, sir, for this?
No, we were not able to share exact numbers in that. We have been sharing as a ballpark percentage.
Okay, sure. And sir, my next question just pertains to the near-term HVDC pipeline for the next 2 years. Just wanted some color on the pipeline. How is it more of LCC projects or VAC projects coming on stream? And also, one link question, since you've already won 2 mega 6 gigawatt projects already, do we have, the capacity to take on more for the next couple of years?
No, I think thank you very much. I think pipeline is, in our view, is very robust. One has already come up for bidding for the TBCB customers, and we are working on that. And similarly, there are many other projects, what I understand, is also in the pipeline. At least in the next 2 years, we are talking about anywhere between 3 projects, if not 4. So our capacity, we consist, and this is a combination of both LCC and VSC. And for us, it doesn't matter. LCC, VSC is absolutely fine because we are by far the leadership position in both LCC and VSC technology globally. In that, we just commissioned Adani Mumbai 1000 megawatt is a VSC technology. So, and your next question was on whether do we have a capacity or not in that. We have also consistently saying that, we have been building the capacity. We don't have any limitation as of now to take, more HVDC projects now and the next year or year after. And we are creating the capacities. As you see, we have been saying this from 2022, where there was no pipeline was there. We started our HVDC and control protection factory in Chennai. And we also set up additional now transformer factory where we are going to manufacture the converted transformer in anticipation of the demand, not only HVDC, but also including HVDC.
Sure. Thanks for that, sir. And just one question I wanted to ask.
I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have participants waiting for their turn.
Okay.
Next question is from the line of Shirom Kapoor from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just had a question on your exports. So I understand, your three-pronged strategy. Just wonder, maybe if you could give some qualitative commentary on, what kind of markets where you're getting this export demand, and is it largely third-party or is it more driven by orders from the parent? And specifically, which segments? Is it, data centers? Are you catering to the data center market in U.S. Or other parts globally? If you could just give some color on that.
Thank you. So as I said, some of the allocated markets where we have one of our growth export strategy, there we develop those markets in a long-term sustainable basis. It could be Indian subcontinent, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bhutan. It's also some of the Southeast Asian countries and so on and so forth. And there, we sell our products directly to the third-party customers. And for example, our GIS, etc., we sell not only in the Southeast Asian countries, but also some of the European customers in that. So in some cases, we said, we have a global feeder factories there. Again, we have a combination of that. We sell to sometimes directly to customers, sometimes to our organizations in that. So that comes from our, not a parent, but our Hitachi Energy offices around the world. And the third one is where we have the feeder factory where we make the components in India. It's like a more of a, you know, a kind of contract manufacturing for our Hitachi Energy factories around the world. So that will be through our parent organizations in that. So that's how we do that.
Understood, sir. And secondly, if you could comment a little bit on, you know, you mentioned that there was a temporary industry slowdown in the fourth quarter that you navigated, and you during your commentary also highlighted some, you know, maybe delays in some transmission projects, and that's why, you know, FY26 we saw a small dip in the growth in transmission orders. So if you could comment a little bit on, you know, what are these delays, how long do you anticipate them to go on for, when would it get resolved, or is it already, you know, behind us now?
I think in my view it's behind us, and the transmission projects is behind us. It's now coming up the pipeline. Maybe the industrial capex, when I said, you know, it's not consistent with all the things, so there is a good momentum on the capex on some of the steel and other industries, but across the thing. But if you really look at where the investments are coming in, huge in the transmission, renewable for sure, and also some of the fossil power plants are also coming up, and the data center is, and semiconductor industry, battery storage industry, they're all really, you know, firing on that. And we also see some expansions in the automobile industry, some of those things.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Next question is from the line of Rahul Gazre from Macquarie Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Venu. Just continuing on the export bit, is it fair, I mean, you did say that you are catering to the SAARC region and Southeast Asia. So all of this is necessarily with y'all only. Is that how one can interpret this?
Sorry, all of this is necessarily?
Is necessarily catered by Hitachi India itself.
Yeah.
Or you will be...
Some of the allocated markets, it will be catered by Hitachi Energy India only.
And that is SAARC is totally allocated market, and you will compete with other Hitachi entities for Southeast Asia.
Yeah. I don't know how you define. As I said, you know, Indian subcontinent is what we define. That is Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bhutan, and Southeast Asian countries. In Southeast Asian countries, India's subcontinent is the entire portfolio. In Southeast Asian countries, it's part of the portfolio.
Got it. Second thing is, you know, you did talk about how India is catering to being a feeder factory for some of the products, and certain products are completely only manufactured locally. On an average, you know, every year, how much of these products are there? How much of these things make up your revenue? You know, these feeder factory and, you know, certain products which are manufactured only in India. Because this is going to be a continuous, you know, whether export happens or not, this is something which will continue.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's like a more of a contracting to our companies. It's and it has a, you know, everything is a pass-through to our company. So it's a low risk and, you know, stable margin kind of thing in that. And it is growing. It is, you know, right now, if you take our whole of exports, it's in the range of 30% or something like that.
Okay, that's interesting. The last question that I have is, you know, with respect to the timeline of supply of transformers, for the export market, you know, what is the kind of timeline that you are able to supply a transformer, and, you know, whether it is different for a 765, 400 kV?
As you said, you know, our whole of transformer, because we have so much of demand from a domestic thing, you know, our focus is continue to, you know, maintain our domestic thing in that. Our pipeline is quite robust, big in that, and one of the reasons why we are increasing our capacity by adding a new factory is also not only to cater to the domestic demand, but also cater to the new segments arising out of this thing, like a data center, like etc.
So you are able to deliver a transformer in what, 15 months, 10 months?
Yeah, it depends, right? It's not a ballpark in life. You know, this is evolving, it's highly dynamic, and that's why we always tell our customers to look at and ordering as early as they can so that, you know, we can plan better in that. Some we can deliver in 15 months, some we could do in 12 months. That's not the issue. The issue is, you know, what kind of capacities customers are looking at it so that, you know, we can plug those capacities.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Last question?
We'll take our next question from the line of Randy Lau from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Randy, please go ahead with your question.
Oh, sorry, am I audible?
Can you use your handset mode, please? Audio is not clear.
Not sure. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so my first question, how should we think about this data center opportunity attributable to Hitachi, particularly with respect to domestic and global competitors over the next 5 years?
Sorry, it was not very clear. How big is the opportunity in data center?
Next 5 years.
Yeah, next 5 years.
How should we think about the data center opportunity for Hitachi over the next 5 years?
Now, look at the data center market in India, and that's where we are primarily catering to. Is now, you know, in India is a less than 2 gigawatt data center capacity existing, and the projections is anywhere between 13 to 18 gigawatt depending upon which data you will take, and what we are talking about anywhere between 6 to 9 times of the capacities in that. So every data center, hyperscaler data center, every data center, you know, 15% of data center capex is Hitachi Energy addressable market. And if you look at the addressable market, is expanding by anywhere 6 to 8 times depending upon the data from the various officials, etc. So it's quite substantial.
So just to follow up, you mentioned 13 to 18 gigawatts and you mentioned a certain capex. For Hitachi, what percentage of this total capex is attributable?
No, we don't take that because for us, every data center is a 15% of our addressable data center, addressable market for us.
Okay, 15%. So I have a second question. So in the current inflationary commodity price environment, how effective has the price escalation process been in protecting the margins of your HVDC and transformer contracts?
Yeah. So thank you very much. I think this is a very interesting question. I was expecting this question. I think you all know that the geopolitical challenges being faced across the across India and also many other geographies, and which is also having elevated inflation, elevated, you know, metal prices, etc., and on top of that, elevated transport charges because of the state of Hormuz getting affected, etc. In that, so we are navigating it. It's not easy. It's challenging. But most of our portfolio, you know, we have our commodity prices is a pass-through. We have a price variation clauses built in the contracts, and we very openly and transparently we do that. But some other things where we cannot pass on, so those things like you know, inflated rate, etc., you know, we are just looking at how to manage it, and then we have several initiatives to ensure that, you know, we mitigate many of those risks in that. But we are very you know, looking actively on that.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I now hand over the call to the MD and CEO, Mr. N. Venu, for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to us. I know that some of you still have a question, so please reach out to Priyanka, and we will be happy to connect with you offline or online and to provide all the necessary things in that. Thank you for showing interest in our thing. We are looking at very exciting times for Hitachi Energy, and the electrification era has arrived, and everything is getting electrified, whether it is, you know, transport sector, industry sector, data center, energy storage, and also the industrial and the domestic. And we are super excited about our role and supporting our customers, our industries, and also working very closely with all of you. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Hitachi Energy India Limited, I would like to conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.